and you want to sort them so that the biggest one is on the bottom and the smallest one is on the top. And you want to know what's the fewest number of flips with your spatula you can use to sort those pancakes. And you can look this up. The sequence for this on Online Encyclopedia of Integer Sequences, OEIS.org, is A058986. And you can use a computer to try to solve small stacks of pancakes to try to minimize the number of flips. And a rather famous person once looked at this problem, his name was Bill Gates. This was his only paper.
So is that part of the underlying promise here, that there's a chance you could become a multi-billionaire?
It always helps to know how to use a computer, especially today, because we've got the most powerful computers that have ever existed. And what we've got casually is millions of times more powerful than anything that existed in the 80s.
And that's somewhat staggering when you think about that. I mean, the exponential growth in the power of computers that's taken place.
Pretty much any problem that got looked at more than 10 years ago, you can pretty much completely trump anything that was done back then. All you have to do is look up what the problem, if you can find the code, rerun that, and you'll probably greatly improve. And the more obscure the problem is, the greater the chance that no one's just even looked at it.
When you're creating a puzzle for, the Japan Airlines In-Flight Magazine or Games Magazine, something that is going to be seen by a variety of different people of gaming experience or puzzle experience, what do you try to put into that puzzle to reach the widest possible audience as far as participation?
The first thing, usually those are word puzzles, and the first thing is that it has to be something well-known. You can't make a puzzle out of something very obscure. And I developed a puzzle for this talk. It's being given in Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the University of Arkansas is, Fayetteville. So add ICS to the end of that. Fayettevillex.
Mm-hmm.
And rearrange those letters to get something everyone should have. So that's a two-word phrase, and that's a well-known two-word phrase, and I just happened to notice that Fayetteville was in there. So I used that as the basis of a puzzle.
Is this something you find you can't really turn off?
Me looking for things like that?
Yes.
Yeah, I when I'm searching, actually my computer is doing these searches most of the time.
Mm.
If I live 30 years ago, I'd be in much worse shape, because to make that puzzle would have taken me weeks to do. And now I can just, here's an idea, and I'll toss this at my computer, and in seconds I've got something. Or not. A lot of times I won't find anything interesting. So basically what people see is the stuff that was actually interesting.
Which is more satisfying for you? Solving somebody else's clever puzzle or creating a clever puzzle?
I would have to say creating. It's sometimes hard to tell whether or not a puzzle is going to be a good one. And there are certain people I trust, like Andrea Gilbert, who does mazes, Robert Abbott, who does various interesting mazes, and Oscar Van Deventer. A new one is a Japanese puzzle maker, Naoki Inaba. Those people always make really good puzzles. Some people make poor puzzles, and it's hard to tell whether or not somebody's coming up with something really fabulous right off.
And what is the measure for you of a good puzzle? Because a good puzzle has to be, I would assume, solvable after some point.
Yes. For example, Sudoku puzzles. You can have a various range of difficulties in a Sudoku puzzle, but some are really, 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 really tricky schemes. There's like 10 human approachable solving techniques for a Sudoku puzzle, and then there's like there's something called Bowman's Bingo, which to do by hand would require several days of work. Those are purely in the realm of computers, and they should stay there.